Today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Revelation. We will be reading today from the 7th chapter, beginning at the 9th verse through the 17th. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." And then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him not day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
It's All Saints Sunday. It's one of my very favorite Sundays of the whole year, actually. And that's unusual because, like many of you, I grew up a Protestant. And when I was a kid in the Deep South, we didn't talk much about saints because that was sort of a Catholic thing. And saints, I always thought, lived a long time ago and far away, and they did impossible things. And I saw them as pictures and icons and stained glass windows. And often they looked funny to me as a kid. Their foreheads were too big, and sometimes they had Greek letters and stuff on them, and I just didn't know what that was about. Many of them, I noted, were unmarried and had no children. And when I grew up and had some kids, I thought to myself, well, if I had no family and I would have nothing to do but pursue holiness, you know? Especially if the year was like 500, what other options would there be for women back then if you didn't have a family? You pretty much had to be a nun, I thought to myself, which is halfway to official sainthood, I thought at the age of 13. And if you weren't the firstborn son, you know, being a monk sort of had its advantages back then. Sainthood is all very hard to translate, if you think of it that way. But as Methodists, we believe that we're all called to be saints. All baptized Christians are called to live lives of love and service. And we Methodists believe that we are called to grow in grace and grow in the faith so that we look more like Jesus next All Saints Day than we do today. John Wesley called this journey of growth sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in us as we grow in love of God and love of neighbor, as we grow in study and service to others. Sanctification, the process of becoming a saint. The label might still be a little hard to get a handle on, but I suspect that you have people in your life who have been saints for you. We have lit candles for them today. One marker of a saint is they don't think they are one. Maybe for you, it's your grandma or your grandpa. Maybe it's a teacher or a parent. Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's someone in our church family. Someone whose name we read today. Someone you have already given thanks for in your heart. And what makes them a saint for you? I would bet you, if I were not a Methodist and were allowed to gamble, that what makes a person a saint for us has something to do with their love, their generosity with that love, their extravagant, generous love, how they show us the love of Jesus. Often the saints we call on are members of our families. And I think when I think about that, I recall that when I went off to college, I got smart really quickly. My parents got really smart is what I meant to say. You know what I mean? By October of freshman year in college, my parents had gone from being the not smartest people I knew to geniuses. And so I realized all of the sacrifices that they had made to send me to the school and to make my life good and to cushion my fall on some pretty bad decisions that I had made. I realized it like an epiphany all of a sudden. So I told my dad, "Dad, I'm never going to be able to pay you back for what you have done for me." And I expected my dad to say, "Don't worry, honey, it was nothing." He didn't say that. You know what he said? He said, "Of course you can't pay me back. Of course you can't." I felt my heart go into my socks. He said, "You can't pay us back. What you will do is you will pay it forward. Someday, there'll be someone in your life that needs you to do for them what we have done for you, and you will pay it forward." That's what the saints do for us. They pour love into us in the hope that we will pay it forward. And I bet if I had folks get up and give a testimony about someone who has been a saint for us, the overwhelming emotion that we might have would be gratitude. Gratitude that God brought them into our life. Gratitude for their sacrifices and for their love. This day, I think the saints call on us not to pay it back to them, but to pay it forward. If someone has loved you, you are called to love somebody. If you have received love, pass it on. A life of gratitude is by definition a life of love. The first saint in my life that I remember losing was my grandmother. And again, I was in college, so I felt pretty alone. I was bereft and I was in shock and I didn't know what to do because I'd never had a loss like that. So I called my pastor from my dorm hall phone. This was a long time ago, people. No cell phones, no internet, no FaceTime. And I said, "My grandmother has just died. She's in Georgia. I'm in North Carolina. I have class at 9:00. I don't know what to do." And my pastor said, "Take a shower, get dressed, and meet me in the garden." We walked together in a garden that's on campus where I went to school. And he let me tell him all about her. And he said, "It's hard to lose someone who loved you unconditionally because there's not all that many of those sorts of folks in the world." And on one level, he's right. But on All Saints Day, we are reminded that love is not something that dies. Love lives on. Love is something that is eternal and that we can pay forward. Christians have for millennia proclaimed a vision of the world where love is eternal. Peacemakers and the poor are blessed. The meek inherit the earth. What unites us is greater than that which divides us. A place where we are all called to grow in love, where we can all be part of a family of God. And when we gather for the Lord's Supper, wherever we gather, we are joined with that great cloud of witnesses that has gone before. We are being watched, if you will, and cheered on and encouraged and maybe held accountable by people who went before us, who taught us the faith, saints whose names are in the history books, people like Oscar Romero, Felicity and Perpetua, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, St. Stephen, and people whose names are in no history book other than our hearts. People who gave sacrificially of themselves in many ways through their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness to Christ in the church. People who showed us what a grown-up Christian is supposed to look like. In the case of Ed Franey, taught us corny jokes are part of the faith also. These are the people gathered around the throne, the ones robed in white, praising God, having made it through the great ordeal, and there are no tears in their eyes, and one day we will join them. So saints are not just people who lived a long time ago and wore burlap and died unusual martyrdom deaths. Saints are people who choose to love, not because it's easy, but because that's what it means to follow Christ. Saints are people who forgive and love and battle through incredibly hard times. Through addiction, through faults, through failures, they fall down repeatedly and they get back up again. They're not perfect, but they choose to love and give. And in my experience, saints don't give up easily. If someone called your name as part of a litany of people who've been saints for them, probably you would say, "No, I am not." But remember what I said before? That's a sign that you might be. Friend, if you are worshiping with us today, in person or online, no matter how you found us, no matter how much or how little you know about the church or the Bible, you are called to be a saint. People will come to know the love of Jesus because of us, or they will not. They will be loved with the love of Christ through us and through this church, or they will not. It's not about being perfect. It's about being committed. It's about thinking back to the people who brought us to the faith and realize that the baton is being passed to us as the next generation of Christians in this church. And gratitude for them should make us step up to be saints for the people coming along behind us. Everything that happens here at Glenmar Church happens because of someone's extravagant love and sacrifice. Everything. Every single thing. Every mission trip. Every youth group meeting, every Bible study, every bell that's rung, every song that's sung, every note that's played, every journey to Bethlehem. Yes, we'll have it this year. People are going to be in their cars. Do you love that or what? Every food pantry, every wedding, every funeral, every AA meeting, every day at our early learning center is made possible because of someone's extravagant love and sacrifice. Every time we even do mundane things, like clean our bathroom here, or the carpet, or pay the electric bill, it's because there was a saint somewhere that grabbed a towel and a basin and knelt to serve God or to serve their neighbor. None of it would be possible without saints like you. And for that, we're grateful. I promise you, you are not alone in this journey. You are surrounded by the worshiping saints every day, but today most especially, from every culture and race and time, saying, "Come on, honey. A pandemic? Let me talk to you about lions. Let me talk to you about the Black Death. You can do it. You can love and you can give. You can pray and you can grow. You can make a difference in this world in ways that you cannot see now, because God wants to use you to bless someone." Hear the saints whisper to us today. Anybody can live a resume. We ought to be striving to live our obituary. Live today so that when we have a picture and a few paragraphs in the paper, it says that we made more than just money. Nothing wrong with money. Money can do great things. Let it also say that we made disciples. Let it also say that we left a legacy of love. The best way to honor someone who's been a saint to us is to become one. Mission possible. Come on, saints, it's time. Thanks be to God. Now let us look at our mission for the week. And the reference to giving away our roses that you're about to see, I think it's from a Carter Family song that has to do with wanting people to express their love for one another now and not on the day, just on the day that we celebrate a life well lived. So let's see what our mission is for this week, saints.
Give your roses. Celebrate the saints in your life. Give flowers, send a card, or call people that have helped and supported you. This is your mission should you choose to accept it. This message will self-destruct. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.